Please turn in your Bibles to our sermon scripture this morning. It is Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. When they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, and then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. Anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. "Say to the daughters of Zion, 'Behold, your king is coming to you, gentle on a mounted donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.'" The disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and laid their coats on them, and he sat on the coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats in the road, and others were cutting branches from the tree and spreading them in the road. And the crowds were going ahead of him, and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirring, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Bless us the hearing and the reading of God's word. Now, as I've said several times, and it gets to be a record because that's the way it is, we are coming into the beginning of Holy Week. Lent is officially over. And it's a time that is very, very important to our church because we have several things going on that will affect each and every one of us. And first of all is the Palm Sunday, the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And we had the two stories read, and I'll be referring to them again. Sends the disciples out to get a donkey and a colt, which they do. And immediately, you have to realize the faith and the working of God, because donkeys and colts were important to your family, and to have a stranger walk up and just start talking and carrying them away, you're bound to say, "And you know, you're doing this for what reason?" And the answer is, "The Lord has need," and immediately it's, "Oh, okay, fine." And it's a wonderful thing. But it's also the fulfillment of a prophecy that's in both Isaiah and Zechariah. And they say to the daughter of Zion, "Behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." You see, as I said, the two stories in Matthew and Mark are remarkably alike up to a point. You have the donkey and the colt. You've got the cheering crowds. You've got the prophecy fulfilled. And yet they do not speak of that one part of that you find in the Gospel of Luke, when Jesus is coming into the town and he sees Jerusalem and he laments for what is going to happen. Jesus wept. John treats it almost offhandedly, but John has a habit of doing that with some of these things, almost as a footnote to what has come, because to John, this just really doesn't mean a whole lot. I mean, yes, it's important. Yes, it's wonderful that he came, but what is really important is the events that are coming later in the week. And I'll be honest, because we're going to talk about it, it's very, very easy to get caught up in the joyful attitude that's going on right now. Because up to this point, let's be honest, Jesus has been given a pretty hard time by the religious leadership, who find fault in everything he does. And you have crowds and crowds of people singing his praises, shouting his name. And we're not talking just a couple of people. We're not talking 12 disciples. We are talking about people that have seen the miracles and are rejoicing in what has been done. And caught up in the celebration of Passover where they celebrate their deliverance from Egypt. And people are in a really, really, really good news. But in the midst of this is Jesus himself. Because you see, he knows what they don't know. He knows what is coming up in just a few short days. He knows the effect and what he's going to have to suffer. And as I said, all the Gospels have three things in common. The arrival on a beast of burden. And I find that kind of fascinating because it really shows who Jesus is. You have the shouts of acclamation, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. But for our purposes this morning is also the question that is asked by the people who have no idea what is going on. Who is this? Because you see, the timing of this couldn't be any better. As I said, he comes into Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. The celebration of the angel of death going over and the children of Israel being spared the loss of the firstborn. And it's possibly one of the more festive times in Israel's services and worship of the Lord. And also the fact because it comes in, people, Jews from all over the world, come to Jerusalem to celebrate. It's been estimated there are up to 600,000 people coming here in Jerusalem at this time. And when you consider what the population was like then, that's a lot of people. So you have the people that are yelling and saying, praise be to God. And you have the other people going, well, who's this? It's the prophet Jesus. Falls a little bit short, but hey, we'll take it for right now. But the other side of it is it also lets the Pharisees know that Jesus is in town. He is here. He is in their territory where they consider that they reign with power. And even the way he comes in is incredibly special. You see, the whole concept of the Messiah was to free the Jewish people from their oppressions. And to them, what they were looking for was a warrior king like David. He's going to come in, throw the Romans out, make everything right, make Israel a great, big, wonderful nation. But what do they get? They get a guy on a donkey. And that sounds really, really, really low key. You don't get the guy with the sword and the armor and the big war horse or the chariot or anything else. You get a man on a donkey. It's kind of like driving a Ford or a Chevy hybrid into a battle. It just ain't the same as an Abrams tank. But the people, as we have a tendency to do, forget what Jesus was there for. And that was indeed to set the people free. And if people are shouting, and it's really interesting because I can almost, if you close your eyes and you picture what's going on, you're somebody standing in Jerusalem itself, you may have heard of Jesus, you may not. And in the distance, you hear something. Hosanna. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And it's getting louder, and it's getting louder, and it's getting louder, and you start to get excited. What's going on? What's so special about this? And it doesn't stop. And people are getting caught up in the excitement of the moment, as people do. We see it all the time in our world today. a group of people to get together and somebody does something or something comes up and more people join for good or bad, the group, and they fall right into it. Sometimes they have no idea what's going on. Sometimes that, hey, I'm excited to be a part of something special, even if I don't know what's going on. And you find yourself shouting the exact same thing. And in Matthew 10:11, verses 10 and 11, when he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. Praise God." But let's go back to that question, who is this? Now, that is an interesting question that each and every one of us should ask ourselves. Who is Jesus Christ? We should know the answer, stock answer, Jesus of Nazareth. He's the Messiah. But if we go beyond that, the question is, who really is Jesus Christ? And between now and next Sunday is a time that we need to examine that. All year long, if you go to services, you hear all about the things that Jesus does in their life and how important he is. We celebrate his birth and his life. It's a fun time. We may possibly know him through our studies and through our prayers and our devotions. And as the people in Pam's reading said, the people that are shouting the hosannas in the beginning have seen his miracles. They've seen him heal. They've seen him exorcise demons. They have a knowledge that he is special. He taught God in a way, he taught God's word in a way that renewed people. It lifted them up. It made them feel that God was with them every step of their lives. But you see, today also marks the end. See, things happen throughout the week that affect everything, and it's one of those reasons that I am fascinated by Jesus, especially during this time, because he knows what is happening, and I'd love to be able to see him riding, know what I know now. What did he look like? What was going through his mind? Because as I told the young people, come Thursday, he's going to institute the Lord's Supper. Maundy Thursday, we celebrate it often ourselves. He even, depending on the gospel that you read, he tells his other disciples, "I'm going to be betrayed." And it kind of goes in one ear and out the other. He is telling them that there's going to be a sacrifice, and we read it here almost every time I do a Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Take and drink. This is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And you have all this going on. And then we have Good Friday, where one of Jesus' own has betrayed him. It's the story of his arrest, his trial, and his death. And it is a night to mourn what we have lost, because we have lost so much through the sacrifice. And yet, amazingly, after such a short period, after everything that's been gone, we come right into Easter morning, Resurrection Sunday, when all of a sudden, out of the darkness, we have Jesus Christ is back with us. He's risen from the dead. God has fulfilled his promise to the people of the world. Sin is gone. It died with him. We are forgiven. We are saved. We are blessed. But you see, it also has to ask the question, who is this Jesus? Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Jesus is our salvation. Jesus is our eternal life. But also, I want you to ask this yourself, who is Jesus Christ to me? Because I will tell you, we don't think about it a whole lot, but our reason for coming and following Jesus Christ is different from the person sitting next to you. Who Jesus Christ is in your life, for me, is not the same for every one of you. He is my Lord and Savior. He is my life. He is my light, as it is for every one of you. But the reason we come to Jesus, why he is so special to us, is different for everyone. And it's special for everyone. And it's what holds us close to him. You see, there is the Jesus we come to when we're troubled, when we're unsure of ourselves. It's the Jesus who strengthens us, leads us into the unknown. He guides us through darkness and through doubt. There is the Jesus out there that comes to us when we're scared and we're frightened. At 3 o'clock in the morning when you don't know how you're going to pay your bills, or you're worried about your sick children or your sick parents or other things going on in your life, there is the Jesus that leads us, who gives us comfort and reassures us that we will be well in our souls. There's the Jesus we come to when we sin. When we come before him trembling in fear for what we have done, for those we have wronged. We come before him, we beg repentance from him for his forgiveness, and this is the Jesus who forgives us. Believe it or not, no matter the sin, but he forgives us when we come to him in repentance, guaranteed. There's the Jesus we come to when we suffer loss. Loss of friendship, loss of loved ones, loss of just about anything important to us in our lives. This is the Jesus that comforts us. You see, when we're down, we're not alone. Jesus holds us. And he comforts us. And he consoles us. And we know that the love there is so pure that it cannot be duplicated by us on earth. And we have people around us that love us, will hold us, will go through the whole thing. But not like Jesus, because he's always there. There's a Jesus that we cry out to in the night, as I said, when we're scared and we're unsure where to go, which way to turn. And when we're lonely and we're lost and we're confused. See, this is the Jesus, just like on the night in which he died. He comes back. The darkness is turned to light. He takes all the things, all the problems we have, and turns it around. And brings us through to the other side. He's our friend. He's our confidant. He's our rock through the storm of life. And then there is the Jesus that is the most fun of all. When we're happy and when we're joyful, when things are just going so right, you can spit. There is Jesus beside you. He's laughing with you. He's having fun. He loves seeing the joy and the happiness. And he's willing to share it with us. And Jesus always comes as an old friend. He's always around us. He's the one that you can come to if you're a little perplexed or things just aren't going enough. And you can sit and talk to him like you do that special friend you have that you can pretty well tell everything to. who will joke with you, who will say, "What's wrong with you, boy? You know better than that." The one that can look at you and say, "Hey, it's okay. Life's cool. You'll make it. Don't worry about it." And above all else, Jesus is the truth and the way. As I said, He is our salvation. He's our path to eternal life. Jesus is love. We get no eternal life without Christ our Lord and Savior. Without Him, we are literally nothing. Now, this morning, I will admit, it sounds very, very reflective, because it is. We spend our whole lives seeking love, to be cared for by other people, to know that there is something or someone around us that is always faithful to us, and that's Christ our Lord. And as long as we can keep in our minds that He is always there with us and that He loves us so much that makes a sacrifice that He did so we don't have to make sacrifices of that type, He is our Savior. In Him, through Him, with Him, we find love, acceptance, reassurance, grace, mercy, forgiveness, just for the asking. Through Him, we find peace and joy like we can find nowhere else. As long as we are willing to open our hearts to Him and to accept Him and let Him in and let Him control our lives. Now, I ask that each one of us here take the time to spend this next week in total communion with the Lord. Come and renew the promise that you have made Him. Come and receive through the Lord life and everlasting love. Bring your friends. Bring your loved ones. Include them in your journey with Him. And next Sunday, let's gather again together in exactly what that is supposed to mean. Happiness, joy, such as we could never have without Him. We can celebrate together so many things, and I'll be honest, let's look at what's going on. We have a new pastor that we have prayed for. We have the Resurrection Sunday. We have each other. We have a baptism where a new child comes, acknowledges that Christ is their Savior. It don't get no better than that. But let's take a look at ourselves. Go through your Gospels and read each one. Read about the Last Supper. Read Good Friday. Read the resurrection stories. And you will find yourself graced far, far better, more completely than anything I could ever do or we could ever do. Because God is in charge. God loves us. And we are indeed His children. Amen.